Welcome to CT Expert Insights. When your business needs expert advice on compliance issues, you can count on us. We provide tips, tools, and strategies to help you at every stage of your business's life cycle.
Hi, I'm Greg Corumbus. Our guest this week is law firm expert Jordan Furlong. He's a principal at Law 21. He's also the author of Law is a Buyer's Market, Building a Client-First Law Firm. For the next few minutes, we'll be examining how law firms are, or at least ought to be, evolving. And Jordan, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, thank you for having me today.
So, based on your expertise, what are the top-of-mind issues for law firms right now, whether it's concern over data breaches, obviously competitiveness in the marketplace, keeping up with technology, government regulations? What's most on their minds right now?
Well, Greg, you know, at a lot of law firms, I think what's most on their mind these days is pretty much what's been on their mind for the last several years, which is how do we maintain our profitability, right? How do we deliver, you know, at least as many profits to our partners as we did last year, or at the very least more than they were maybe expecting? There's a lot of law firms where that's still the guiding light, and that's what really consumes everyone. But what's very encouraging to me is that there's a growing number of firms that are really focused, I think, on much more substantive issues and more significant issues. For me, I think that the three most important ones out of that list, number one, law firms are quite concerned about the fact that work continues to kind of level off or stagnate, especially coming from corporate in-house law departments. To the extent that law firms are remaining profitable and pushing their profits up, it's almost entirely driven these days by rate increases. So the amount of work coming in is either, you know, stagnant or dropping off, obviously a problem. The second issue is very much related to that, which is that there is a growing cadre of what you would call alternative legal services providers, or ALSPs. And these are companies like Flex Lawyer Platforms or Managed Legal Services companies. And what they're doing is they're taking all that kind of routine, straightforward work that the in-house people used to send to the law firms, but is now going to these alternative providers. And a third issue, I think, is internal to the law firms, and that is real serious concerns about succession crises. A lot of senior lawyers are getting ready to transition out of the profession, out of the firms, and for a whole bunch of reasons, the firms haven't really prepared properly for that. Sometimes it's attributable to the senior lawyers not really prepping the juniors behind them, but there's all sorts of reasons for that. So there's a lot of balls in the air right now for law firms to juggle these days.
You mentioned how the legal services world is different now because of all these different options. So how is the traditional law firm community responding to that and trying to win back those consumers?
I think most law firms these days are starting with the premise that we need to find ways to become more competitive. And I think, and again, that's very encouraging to me because there's been a bit of a complacency, I think, at a lot of law firms in the past. And so they're looking for ways, what are the value adds we can come up with? How can we find ways to attract the attention of clients and say, look, you should send this work to us? And sometimes they will actually enter into like partnerships or alliances with some of these alternative providers to say, look, between the two of us, we cover the whole gamut, right? We provide the clients what we're looking for. A small number of firms are actually investing in this kind of technology and process improvement themselves because they recognize we have to become more competitive, more streamlined, more heavily using and relying upon technology. And I think for a small number of firms, there's an interest in saying we need to rethink everything, right? We need to think about how are we compensating our lawyers? What are we paying them to do? How are we billing our work? How are we pricing what we're doing? And even what's the right mix of partners, associates, and people who aren't lawyers? So I think it has been a very good development. The last decade, I think, has been very good from the client point of view, from the buyers of legal services. I think now over the last few years, we're starting to see law firms respond to that, and I think in a very positive kind of way.
Jordan, let's talk a little bit about your book now. And one of the ways that the law firm community is responding, of course, is by trying to make themselves a more attractive option to potential clients. So how do you build a client-first law firm?
It's the manner in which clients are actually being served, right? A lot of the time when, if you're in a law firm, you don't really know what it's like to receive the services that you're delivering. But from the client point of view, sometimes that's even more important to them than the outcome, right? How long did it take to get served? What was your responsiveness like? Was the budget completely blown on this, right? There's a lot more to client satisfaction than simply the outcome. And so I encourage law firms to build systems to track that and to make note of that. And even, and it sounds like a crazy thing to say this, but a lot of law firms don't even track the results that they deliver to clients, right? I sort of say, look, just build a spreadsheet. I put in the spreadsheet what you promised you would do for the client, what you actually did, and what the client thought about that, right? And that third step is critical. You got to go back to the client every time and say, did you get what you came to us to receive? And if you didn't, please tell us how and why so we can do better next time.
Jordan, how do you prove it to prospective clients or existing clients that you're going to do better, that they don't need to go to these emerging alternatives, many of which might be less expensive, at least to begin with? How do you convince them that you're actually going to do what you say you'll do?
It's a really good question. And one of the things I say to law firms is, look, if you're going to try to differentiate yourselves to clients, if you want to stand out for reasons of being unique or being particularly well-suited to what they need, then you need to understand upon what basis are they actually buying their services. And again, a lot of law firms aren't aware of this. But and so it's a lot easier to prove that you are the package that your client wants if you've had those in-depth conversations to find out what they're looking for. But you know what? Something, it's kind of a gutsy call, and not every law firm is ready to do this. But I sometimes say to law firms, have a conversation with your client, find out what the work is that they've got to deliver. And if there's really straightforward, basic, low-value work, say to them, you know what? You shouldn't be giving that to us. You know, we're overqualified for that. We're punching below our weight if you do that kind of a thing. We can recommend 3 or 4 or 5 good suppliers we've dealt with. You should go to them for that kind of work. Let us take the other kinds of work. And I think that would be an astonishing thing for a lot of clients to deal with, right? All of a sudden, you got a law firm saying, what, don't give me work, right? But I think that goes a long way to establishing trust, to say, I'm looking out for your interests. I'm not going to try to sell you everything because, frankly, you shouldn't be getting everything from us. You should be coming to us for high value, high stakes, important, complex work, and we can nail that work for you.
Jordan, you were very optimistic about the way that law firms are approaching the need to change. What about in the places where there is some resistance? What are the most common barriers to change? Is it just the desire not to?
Lawyers are especially conservative and risk averse. I mean, we all are to a certain extent. Change aversion is part of the human condition. But there's many studies out there that will demonstrate lawyers are outliers, even in this respect, especially averse to changing anything. We love the status quo. So that is absolutely a part of it. Another part of it, of course, is that the law firm model we've been running now for several decades has been immensely successful from the point of view of the lawyers and the firms themselves. You look at the AmLaw 100, and yes, granted, that's a different market than many lawyers in the U.S. and Canada are working within. But you look at like the number 100 firm on that list, and the average profit each year to a partner there is, what, $800,000, $900,000, which is astonishing. That's the average partner just in one firm. So it's easy to understand why people would resist wanting to make those changes and make those shifts. But I think within law firms specifically, the biggest barrier to change tends to be the fact that lawyers within law firms consider themselves to be pretty autonomous. And this especially goes for equity partners and double especially goes for any equity partner who is especially influential, powerful, a major rainmaker, or a political player within the firm. And I've seen and I've heard from many other people who've had this experience as well. All it takes is one or two people like this to stand up in a meeting and say, no, we're not doing that. We're not making that investment. We're not going to start that campaign. We're not going to do anything different here because I perceive that it threatens my interests. And in most companies and most well-run businesses, one outlier is like, okay, well, fine. That's your opinion. You're entitled to it. But in law firms, it just takes one opinion to stop the whole train in its tracks. And I think that is an insoluble problem in a lot of law firms. I think you really either have to get to the point of saying, these particular lawyers simply have to move on before we're able to bring about the change that we want to make.
Last question for you, Jordan. Are there additional or special challenges for multinational firms in trying to adjust to this new reality, or are the challenges essentially the same?
The challenges are very similar. There are a few extra ones. The management issue, of course, is staggering, right? I don't know how you would manage a firm of 2,000 or 3,000 or even 7,000 lawyers. Lawyers are very difficult to manage at the best of times. And when you have thousands of lawyers across multiple jurisdictions speaking different languages and cultures and groups and so forth, you're not really managing that. You're just kind of like herding it along in one direction, hoping we all get to the same point. Now, that's not to say it's impossible. And I know that these firms spend a lot of time and energy and money precisely on that level of management, making sure there's cross-pollination, people get to meet their partners on their jurisdictions and so forth. But it's a significant challenge. I mean, there's advantages, obviously, to being a multinational firm. Brand power is extensive. You're top of mind for a lot of people in a lot of different jurisdictions. Size is, for some clients, still a differentiator. But the number of clients for whom it is the differentiator, who will say, you know what, I'm going to that firm because it's available in the most cities and the most countries, the number of clients like that aren't that numerous. And the number of law firms hoping to compete on size seems to be growing every day. Last point on that. The problem with competing on size and multi-jurisdiction ability is that we have now slowly making their way into the legal market the big four accounting firms. And the smallest of these firms has something in the range of 120,000 employees. So if size is your differentiator, I think there's someone coming into the market who's going to have something to say about that.
Wow. Lots to keep in mind. Jordan, great to get the inside scoop on how the field is changing and why it needs to change. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Greg, very much.
Jordan Furlong is a principal at Law 21. He's also the author of Law is a Buyer's Market, Building a Client-First Law Firm. I'm Greg Corumbus, and for more information on this topic, please call CT at 844-787-7782.
With 125 years of experience, CT is here to help you at every stage of the business life cycle.